This show is
Sorry.
not for the easily offended, and show notice the explicit tag. If you don't like the curse words, fuck off.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the DSJMP.com WrestleCast, where like minds get together and discuss this week in wrestling. Unless it's about TNA, Lucha Underground, PWG, New Japan, or anything not related to WWE and Raw. Now, it's time for your host, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy with just as big of a rack as my wife, Heavy Set.
I need some music. Thank you. No cheesy sound effects applause because that sounds like shit. All right. We are here with the WrestleCast episode 76, I believe.
76, Heavy, that is correct.
That's right. And we'll be talking about wrestling.
Wrestling.
And of course we have a star-studded, panel of people.
Got some stuttering going on, Heavy, that's for sure. No, it's I swear to God, Vamp, as in Andy Anderson.
No, it's I swear to Andy. But first, let's start off. Of course, we have myself, Heavy Set. We have our man on the mic, DRG.
DRG, the one and only.
We have Andy, wait for it, John Cena!
Hey, listen to you guys, I got a hard-on.
Anderson!
Speaking of hard-on, we have Katie, the First Lady.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and talk wrestling, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh, that's a great way to start a show in the damper in the dumps. Thanks for waiting for the news there, sport.
And we have the one and only Biohazard.
She's all out of bubblegum, and I'm all out of wrestling.
Let's get into our first segment. Keep, toss, or improve. No cheesy sound effects this week. We'll start off with a DRG.
Oh, thank you very much, Heavy. I have to say that this week's keep, toss, or improve, I'm going to do my best to keep it short and swivel. Kind of like Chuck Worley, we're going to do it two for two. I want the interactions between Seth Rollins and Adrian Neville, but I also want to toss anything to do with a 8-man tag team match on Raw.
All right, we're done.
Yeah. Gonna keep up with that.
There's only one thing short about DRG, and that's not his sex.
That's definitely not my penis either. Oh, I'm sorry, not Heavy Andy. I'm just planning to talk like this all night long. Call me Rick Swan up in this bitch.
Tell me something I don't already know.
Who's that other guy from TNA? It sounded like him.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Andy, but I think you're reaching, trying to say that I'm talking like Don West. But Don West is a little bit more like this.
We don't do Don West.
Don West sold me all my TNA merchandise.
All right. Double Vamp has no idea who Don West is. He thinks he's a cousin to somebody related in the 18th century.
No, I thought he was cousin to Kanye.
No, cousin to he was the guest spot on one of the 1960s Batman films. I believe he played the Riddler.
He might have played Batman at one time, too.
Swear to God, if you say something about Batman negative and associate him with Don West again, I'm going to kick you off this call.
Are we supposed to be Don West or Devil Fable?
I cannot tell, Heavy. That's how hilarious I am.
He's Devil Don.
Devil Don.
Right. One more time. What was your keep tossing
impression? My keep is going to be the interactions between one Adrian Neville and Seth Rollins. You see, I love the elevation that they're doing with Adrian Neville's character. And to hear Seth Rollins mocking John Cena for having a broke nose in the way that he did, which was very subtle, as well as having the t-shirt of You Can't See Me, is definitely something that I think should be kept in This Week in Wrestling.
The t-shirt said, never shut up.
Well, the back said, You Can't Knee.
It said, You Can't See Knee.
Oh, You Can't See Knee. That's right.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just bought a DRG t-shirt last night.
You just bought a
DRG
t-shirt? I am claiming a cease on that motherfucker right now, because I am not getting any profit.
Not getting any royalties.
You bought
a Seth Rollins t-shirt.
A DRG shirt that says never shuts up.
Did you seriously buy that, Andy?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
It appears in the confirmation order online, and his credit card was hacked.
He ordered Seth Rollins shirts quicker than I ordered Kevin Owens shirts.
He is from Davenport, Iowa. That's correct. Fact.
That is correct. Fact.
Because that has been his
silver dollar.
His quarter.
Actually, he's from Buffalo, Iowa, but that's the other.
No, it's Buffalo, New York. There's no such thing as Buffalo, Iowa. Making up cities and shit, Andy. What the fuck? Yeah.
No such thing as Buffalo wings either, so.
Unless they're delicious.
Wrestling! The thing that we're not talking about.
Welcome to Suplex City.
Actually, why do we start with Keep Tossing Through?
Yeah, that's a good segment. Let's go with that one.
No, why? I meant because Rowdy died. We gotta talk about Piper.
Yeah.
Like we did with Rhodes. We started off the episode, started off the Rhodes, get everything Rhodes out of the way, so let's get everything Rowdy out of the way.
Since Katie brought it up.
Kicking the shit out of the girl. Oh, not that Rowdy, I'm sorry.
Since Katie brought it up, like Katie started.
No, we don't talk about that bitch.
It wasn't me, BNE. That was my tribute, because he was one of the best ever.
I concur. I honestly think that his speaking abilities alone, his ability to draw you in and get you either pissed off or just interested in anything that the man had to say. I went out of my way to watch an episode of Wife Swap that featured him and Ric Flair because Roddy Piper was on it.
I did,
Roddy,
too.
He was one of those people that, just like with Dusty Rhodes, you can't replace that figure. A lot of people can try being that kind of character again, but I honestly don't think anybody can give off that individual's same amount of charisma, same amount of catchphrases, or same amount of memorable moments. I don't think that they can live up to it. Piper and Rhodes are the two of my childhood heroes that I am absolutely tragically sad to say are gone. And I posted on Twitter the fact that growing up, seeing these guys as immortal figures, it's so surreal now realizing that they actually are mortal.
I think if there's anybody that comes close to him, I think right now it's Ambrose.
Yeah, that's similar.
Granted, Ambrose is like a mishmash of like a bunch of different wrestlers. He's got a little bit of Stone Cold, a little bit of Pillman, a little bit of Piper. I know there's other wrestlers I can think of off the top of my head. It's just somebody who he was a guy who studied the game, and you know he definitely studied a lot from Piper. Me, personally, it's kind of like Dusty. I wasn't that big of a fan of his. Like, I mean, it was nothing against him. It was just, like, it wasn't that part of that era that I grew up in. Like, my first experience with Piper that I remember was when he came back around WrestleMania 10.
My first experience was when he was basically an announcer with Vince, and he was on the booth. I don't know if it was a kayfabe injury or what, but he broke his foot. No, he broke his foot, and then because I just watched the Survivor Series lately, where the 1990 Survivor Series, and he was at the booth with Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah, I
and then the storyline, I know it turned into him coaching Virgil against the Million Dollar Man, and that accumulated at WrestleMania.
We always have the discussion as, you know, favorite matches of all time. His match with Bret Hart and watching his internal struggle being portrayed as to if he cheats or should he cheat or does he have to cheat to get this win, and how much it meant to him versus how much it meant being the stand-up guy. That was one of the points that I point to where I say that storylines do get me in certain regards. I've always been a fan of the athleticism, and that's one of the reasons why I stay watching wrestling. But that internal struggle that Piper showed in that match is one of the reasons why storylines are necessary.
Yeah. We also got to talk about his Gold Dust match from WrestleMania 12, that Backlot Brawl.
That was
so good and so entertaining. And the little O.J. Simpson nod with the white Bronco. I just thought it was just awesome to watch. And it helped Dustin Gold Dust a lot, too. Made him sort of more credible.
And that in the...
Wasn't that Gold Dust's first WrestleMania?
I think so, because before that was the feud with Ahmed Johnson, but that was Survivor Series, wasn't it?
I believe Razor was his first feud, and then it was Ahmed, and then it morphed into this.
I remember the Ahmed thing a lot, because whenever he gave him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and Ahmed snapping, like, that was like, whoa, what the hell? Dude just kissed him.
And look at Ahmed now.
Cross his back.
Jared, don't
you get my hand up! I think with Piper... It wasn't a death that anybody expected. Granted, well, like, we didn't expect Dusty either, but he was coming to that point of his life where it's just you weren't surprised. But Piper, he was still really active. Yeah. I mean, he had the podcast that he was working on and all that kind of stuff. I never really got a chance to listen to it just because it was an oversaturation of those kind of shows and not really that big of a Piper fan. So I was like, yeah, whatever.
Well, after him beating his battle with cancer, I thought he was out of the woods. And when I heard he died, I'm like, oh crap, did he die of cancer? But it was from something else.
Natural causes is what they're called. Yeah. But dude was only 61 years old. I mean, Dusty was how old? 70s, wasn't he?
69, close to 69,
69. 70. And the past 3 weeks in wrestling have been quite interesting for those childhood heroes type figures passing away. And like was said before show, one of the best things that came out of this was Marty DeRosa's tweet saying that, once again, Piper stole the attention from Hulk Hogan.
And, you know, Piper, the story that I always heard from people, and I'm pretty sure the story is actually out there, but how he always wanted credit for WrestleMania. Yeah, it was Vince's idea. Yes, Hogan was the main star, but who was the bad guy of that to go up against Hogan?
Exactly.
It was Piper.
Yeah, and
he was the heel that they needed. To sell that. I mean, you might not have had it as successful with any other heel. Or, granted, there was other heels in that match, but really, you always remember Piper.
He was the Joker to Hogan's Batman.
Right.
And he was...
At least at that point.
And he was helped bringing it into mainstream with the whole rock and wrestling connection. He was in music videos, that whole connection with Cyndi Lauper and all that stuff.
He was... It's like what X-Pac said on Twitter. He goes, all these people saying, you know, he was one of the best heels, I call bullshit. Tell me who's better at being a heel than Piper was. He had a knack for getting under your skin so bad, but at the same time remained cool enough that you wanted to be around him. You know, he was the modern day tweeners that people are nowadays, the guys that go back and forth between babyface and heel. Piper was that, but it wasn't because he tried to be that. He always tried to be the bad guy, but he was so good at being the bad guy, he was cool.
Mm-hmm.
To say he was the best heel, I think...
You said it yourself. Who else could they have put Hogan again to make WrestleMania successful?
Well, I'm saying at that point. There's still other heels. Like, I know on my personal list, I don't put him top five, but I still say you want to put someone up against Piper. I mean, those are some of the, at least heel-wise, I can name at least five other people who were at one point better as being a heel. One of my favorites, and I'm very biased, is Owen. I thought as a kid, like, Owen, like, hating him, because he was always the heel. I've often referred to him kind of like as Loki, because that's when he reminded me of.
I can agree with that, but Owen had such a stigma as being the little brother to Bret, that putting him against a figure like Hulk Hogan, I think he still would have got treated like, oh, that's just a little kid in the ring with Hulk. And it's no discredit to his ability.
I'm not comparing someone to go up against Hogan. I'm saying that was right for the time.
Oh, okay. All right, I see what you're saying. You're saying...
X-Pac was saying, like, oh, name somebody who is better. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, it just all depends on your perspective. Because there's no definitive, like, this is the ultimate heel of all time.
Ultimate warrior.
Like, I've often said, my favorite heel of all time, and I think he was the greatest heel, was Andy Kaufman.
Stellar.
Because he had the whole industry hating him. Well, everybody watching it, it's the equivalent to, right now, the biggest heel in wrestling, well, he's not really in wrestling, is Dana White, to where you got everybody looking at him and going, fuck you!
Well, the best part about it,
and that was the same thing.
The best part about Kaufman is it wasn't just the wrestling industry. It was the entertainment industry as well, because you hear some of the interviews with people like Bill Apter that were there through that, and hearing how these famous actors really didn't like Kaufman doing the stuff that he did. Like the whole crew from Taxi saying that he's the reason why we ended up suffering so bad is because his wrestling thing. A lot of people in the film industry disliked him for it.
That was awesome.
It's an amazing story to tell. I can give you that. Kaufman is definitely an underrated figure of a bad guy in the wrestling industry.
But I mean, there's always, he can definitely, I mean, he's not in my top five list, Piper, but he can definitely be entertained in a top five list, and I would debate it too much. It's just my personal top five list. He's not on.
I've got him in Ric Flair as two that are a staple in any of my top five bad guys, just because, and him coming out with the half black face was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The guy had the ability to talk. Him and Bob Orton together, just the way that they were, Orton wearing the cast and playing into that, he was stellar. He was a great performer, and that's one of the reasons why I think a lot of people will miss him, because that guy could have passed on a plethora more information. Like when we talk about who could replace Dusty Rhodes in that role that he was in for like the promo classes and stuff, Piper's one of those that, you know, as long as he's not pulling a Ric Flair and just blah, 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 but as long as he's staying in the right mind, Piper can help them to deliver powerful promo.
Mm-hmm. I'm just bummed we're never going to have another Piper's Pit.
That was a great homage that Miz did.
Yeah, that was decent, what he did. And he kind of wore a kilt, too. Whatever that was.
And, you know, of all the interview segments, I wish he would have named some more obscure ones. King's Court. Did he mention the Heartbreak Hotel?
Yes.
Or no?
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
What about
Heartbreak Hotel?
Snake Douglas. Did he mention?
Funeral Parlor.
Dean Douglas.
Cutting Edge. Did Dean Douglas have? I thought it was Stryker.
Oh, it was Stryker. Stryker had the classroom.
Yeah. Carlito's Cabana.
I love Peep Carlito. The Peep Show.
Flower Shop.
Who's the Flower Shop?
Adrian Adonis.
Okay. What was it just the Brother Love? What was Brother Love?
It's just the Brother Love show.
Those are the love.
That's what
show,
I thought.
Yeah.
I love you.
Which takes us to WrestleMania 5 when he was trying to do a parody of him, which was hilarious. The whole Morton Downey Jr. thing.
Yeah.
That was when he came back, though, right? That was when he came back after he left to make They Live.
As good as I think Piper, I mean, that's just the one that started it all. My favorite is still Heartbreak Hotel, just because of the set.
Mine is Del Barbershop, just because the iconic kick through the window. That memory. But talking about Piper's...
You don't like the Carlito's Cabana?
Talking about Piper's...
Hello, Jericho 5000?
Okay. Jericho?
Runty Piper.
You mean the highlight reel?
When I was at work, people at my job know that I'm a wrestling fan or whatnot. People that I never suspected of knowing anything about wrestling were asking me, hey, is it true that Roddy Piper died? I'm like, really, dude? You know what? Well, dude, I know who Roddy Piper is. It's impressive to see that people knew Roddy Piper's name. And I think a lot of that goes underrated because of his work with It's Not Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He was a really good reoccurring character on that show, if you ever watched it. He was real funny.
I never got that far in the show.
I don't remember what season he came into, but man, when he was on there, he was a pretty good loose cannon.
I want to say I got to like season 2 or 3. It was a show that I didn't mind, but I can only watch like a couple episodes at a time, and then I always had to stop.
I think you're looking at like season 4 or 5 before Piper comes involved.
Yeah, because I know I hadn't got to that part yet.
Yeah, I remember the first episode that I saw of that show actually had Roddy Piper in it, and I was like, dude, Danny DeVito and Roddy Piper on the same show? Yeah, I'll watch this. And I went back and started watching them, and they're really good. It's funny in a weird, quirky kind of way, but...
Yeah, I got so many phone calls the day that Piper passed away. My brother called, a bunch of friends that used to watch wrestling with me. It was
that one Asian that you paid for a nickel to.
That's where he got the nickel nickname. Okay.
Exactly. And it's only... The reason why is because, oh, you only pay me nickel! Why you only pay me nickel?
That has been my nickel.
I think we'll agree that the most famous pet was... The snipple
coconut. Coconut, yeah.
The coconut.
I kind of wish Tamina would have been carrying around a coconut.
Or a papaya, even better.
Like, she would have came out with a girl with a coconut and holding in her hand as, like, a tribute.
She could have wore a coconut bra.
Speaking of the whole snippet y'all hear about his stomach cancer.
Yeah.
I was thinking that added to it.
That was harsh hearing about that. It's, like I said, you know, your superheroes of the past that you thought were invincible, the older you get, the more you see them in their mortal state. It's really cool on one level, because knowing that you got to see them and that they helped formulate your opinions of things when you were younger, but at the other set, it sucks seeing, you know, the heroes become human.
What kind of sucked for me is over the weekend, I actually was home. I could have made it to a show in Avon, Ohio that had Brett at it.
Oh, really?
And I was going to actually, like, I was debating on going and just being like, dude, I've met you once before, but I just want to, like, let you know, like, you and Sean were, like, my two superheroes, and I just want to make sure you know, like, how much what you did through your career, like, means to me, and how your match with Sean is my favorite match of all time, because it happened on my 10th birthday, and how, like, I can never put one in front of the other between you two, and, like, with what happened with Piper, it just makes me want to say it to you even more, just so I could, like, if you die tomorrow, I can say, you know what, I got to say it to him.
And then you could finish the conversation by saying, but Samoa Joe didn't break Tyson's neck, dude. I'm sorry. It wasn't his fault.
And then he turns to you and goes, that was a 4 out of 10.
It wouldn't even make my top 1,000.
I would have ended it with, now can you give me your niece's phone number?
It's like, oh yeah, Natalie gave me your number the other day, but I've totally lost it. Is there any way you could hook me up with it? We miss you, Roddy, from all of the DSG.
Hot Rod.
We know you're in a... Oh, never mind, I won't say it.
For fuck's sake.
He's in. they're promoting WrestleMania from the stars.
I need to...
That black Hot Rod t-shirt, was that... I haven't even seen that on sale. Is that something
That's been on sale.
I think they're both back ordered now, because I think a lot of people bought it. I checked
online.
After he died, I went to ShopZone, and I looked at him like, I could get them right now, but they're... It was like $50. I'm like, I don't really want to spend $50 right now. But they're like, those two, they're definitely on my list. And I don't want people to be like, well, what, how come you don't have that switch class? I'm like, there's a lot of classic shirts that I really want, but I don't own. Like, I know one of them besides the Hot Rod one. I want the Cactus Jack shirt. I love the Cactus Jack shirt.
Are you talking about the one
I've never
owned it. You can fucking get that now.
I have two Hulkamania shirts.
You
I have one
get,
from the...
You can't get Axelmania anymore either.
Yeah, damn it. That's definitely off.
Oh, man.
Are you talking about the Cactus Jack Wanted poster from WCW?
Well, that and WWE had re-released it, too.
Right. The reason why I said it from WCW is because that was where it first came out at. The only reason.
Yeah.
I was just making sure that was... Because they had a couple of Cactus Jack shirts. ECW had
WWE even had the Cactus Jack shirt, but it looked like you were wearing the little... flannel thing that
Pro Wrestling Tees. Oh,
shit. Yes, I know where to find them. Trust me. Find them. That's the big thing.
They're just
I was on Pro Wrestling Tees last night going, I want all these shirts. I can't afford them.
Like, I technically shouldn't have did the last order that I did, and even after I made them, I'm like, alright, I can't buy shirts for a while. I'm not gonna buy a shirt unless it's like really good or Kevin Owens comes out with a shirt, and until then I can't.
It was 25% off Monday.
At the rate you're going, you're going to have to order another Kevin Owens shirt in about 2 weeks, because the dude's already got, like, what, 4?
and I already have them all.
I have one.
One of them is still in the plastic wrap. I'm trying to remember which one. I think it's the Fight Owens Fight one.
I think two of the three are Fight Owens Fight shirts.
I meant on the front.
Can I ask a question?
That's the one that you were to go get your haircut, wasn't it?
No, the red one. No, I'm talking
I
about
have
the
red, white, and blue one.
Silver, red, white, and blue one.
I got complimented on wearing that one shirt. That one, yeah.
The night after Owens debuted, I wore my KO shirt to a mall, and another guy was like, hey, what's up? Yeah, Kevin Owens. And I'm like, he started talking to me for a minute, and I'm like, did you ever see him on the Indies? He's like, no. And I'm like, really? You live in Cleveland.
It's just on me. Yeah, but that Kevin.
I only watch WWE.
Better.
He likes the zoo, and his favorite animal is pandas.
What do you want to mask.
Can we do Keep Tosser Improved?
No. What the hell are you talking about, Andy? Get the hell over your own self. We're having a conversation here.
Okay, what is your Keep Tosser Improved, Andy?
God damn it. I don't want you to go to me. Fuck.
Did you forget?
No, I kicked him off the
call. All right, Andy, welcome back to the show. It's time for Keep Tosser Improved.
It wouldn't be a WrestleCast if I didn't get kicked off the call. I want to keep sexy star picks that have been coming out from ESPN. Oh, my goodness.
No, you can't keep that. Move on. We don't talk Lucha Underground on this podcast.
And I also want to keep, I just got El Rey Network on my Dish Network. It just popped up the other day. I was like, oh, yes.
I met her once. Oh, El Rey, if I meant, don't remind me.
So I got everything set to, there's like 4 episodes on tomorrow before the finale, so I got them set to record. I haven't seen a couple. What's that?
This last week's episode, you're going to see a match between Brian Cage and the Mac that was absolutely stellar, and Helico and Son of Havoc and Ivelisse will take on the Disciples of Death or whatever the fuck they call them, and then you'll see Hernandez Drago. But,
you mean the lightning bolt creatures?
Yeah, those guys. this week is the start of Ultimate Lucha, which they're doing a 1 hour last week and then a 2 hour special this week. So you're going to see the final of the season before they take a little bit of a break and then come back. I haven't heard any news about them announcing a second season yet, but I assume that they will have a second season. So
does that whole seven coin belt, does that come into play?
The Gift of the Gods? Yes, the Gift of the Gods.
That's a cool idea. Mm-hmm. I like that idea.
I thought it was smart. And the people that they put in that match with Phoenix and King Cuerno and Jack Evans and Big Rick and Sexy Star and the ones that they have in there, they did a really good job choosing the stars of the season that weren't necessarily the primary focus of it. So to have one of them winning it to move on to the next series is going to be quite interesting. You're also going to see Mil Muertes versus Prince Puma for that title, and Del Rio versus Johnny Mundo, which is going to be a great match for me personally. I love Johnny Mundo, really good athlete. But the one thing that you do need to do, just for my own morbid curiosity, because I don't have El Rey, look and see if you have On Demand with them and find out if they've uploaded any of the past Lucha Undergrounds yet, because they had talked about doing it a while back, but they haven't, to the best of my acknowledgement, uploaded anything on demand for El Rey's Lucha Underground series.
Okay, I'm old, and I've never watched anything on demand, so I'll have to check that out.
There's a button on your remote control that says On Demand, and you hit that, and then look for El Rey Network.
Yes, Dish Network has an On Demand?
I don't think they do.
No, I don't think they do.
Oh, you got Dish Network. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
You need me to check, then?
Yeah, if you can.
All right, Andy, what is your Tosser Improve?
Oh, Tosser Improve. The name Submission Sorority, really, I don't know. I like Bad, I like Beautiful, and Dangerous. I think that's a great name. Team Bella, okay, I don't know. But Submission Sorority, I think they're, I don't know. I'm still swishing it in my mouth. I don't know if I like it or totally dislike it yet, but that's...
So, is it a toss or an improve? That's what I'm asking. Because if it's an improve, then give something that you would improve it to.
I would improve it to the Four Horse Ladies, and then pick a fourth member to come up.
You IWC Mark, you smart! How dare you?
He wants Bailey. Lucha Underground is on demand, by the way.
I know it's 3-on-3, but you asked me what I would do. So there, it's my opinion.
My opinion, damn it!
I can have an opinion, damn it! It's my opinion.
My opinion is the only opinion that matters.
But yeah, no, I see what they're doing. I don't totally hate it. It's just that I don't know. But so now they're going to be winning by submission, which is okay, I guess. But you're going to, every time they win, it's going to be by submission, isn't it?
I don't necessarily think so, because you still have people. They have other moves, and Charlotte's main move is natural selection, not figure eight,
which we have not seen yet.
Figure eight.
Because it's twice as good as the original.
We haven't seen the Natural Selection yet, though. That's what I'm saying.
I like the name. I could see why it's a little iffy. We have to get used to it. But I just thought of, like, calling them Submission Sirens for some reason. That popped into my head. I think it rolls off the tongue better.
Yeah, I really like that.
I guess it's, I think it's better than adding another the word team into another team, you know? You got Team Belly, you got Team Bad. It's something different.
Something different, but I don't know. The name just... Even Mission Sirens, I think it's the fact that they're trying to do the double S thing. Mm-hmm.
They're the SS.
Come up with a name that just sticks, not like sounds catchy.
I also say look at it the way that Heavy looked at it before the show started. If you Google that, I don't necessarily think that the for a PG program are going to pop up.
They're probably already making a T-shirt with it now.
They might want to
make just check the shop. I wanted to make sure if they were coming out with that Team Bad shirt, because I noticed, I'm like, oh, they got the shirt. That almost looks like it's an actual shirt, but it's not on the shop site, so it might be just a shirt for them, which I'm fine with.
Like brass ring?
Not saying I was going to buy it.
Paige's new shirt's on there, though.
This is my house.
I might end up buying it eventually. Oh. Not anytime soon, though.
I will only buy it for one reason.
Buy one, get one free.
No. If I'm ever in the market to buy a house.
This is my house. You should Hulk Hogan it, too. Like, have it under your other shirt. And then when you have the house you like, you rip it off. It's like, this is my house.
The moment you get Paige's the keys.
We saw Paige's mom on the podcast, but Wayne had a picture of her, took a picture with it. She looks like exactly like Paige, but just older, with red hair.
Yeah, it's called genetic.
Holy shit. If you listen to Soraya, whatever, Knight, if you listen to her life story, holy shit, she's been through a lot.
Did you hear her on Cult? Cabana.
Art of this is the art of wrestling. I'm a professional wrestler. Colt Cabana. Yeah.
She was supposed to come to AIW like a year or two ago, but she had to cancel her booking. I was so pissed.
That sucks.
I was kind of like, oh, cool, I get to see her, and I don't.
Yeah, she's definitely one of those infamous names in the women's wrestling scene. I still don't understand why her talent and that family's talent. It's cool that Paige got recognized, but I don't know if they're planning on bringing her in for any dates or something.
I don't think so.
If she ever comes in for anything, it's going to be like John Cena's dad type thing.
Yeah, but she could do so much more than that, though.
That's Paige's mom. Yay. Okay, maybe she'll do a couple bumps.
Like, make fun of her family and stuff, and make fun of her mom. They could bring her mom in, and they could team up and face the Bellas, maybe.
They could do a WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, while we're still waiting on Gold Dust and Stardust.
Yeah, that's, I'm not sure if that's ever going to happen.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad. He never really got his match to go out on Gold Dust. Yeah, I'm really sad about it. I was thinking about it the other day.
It was a feud with Stardust, and then it just kind of fizzled.
It kind of fizzled, and he was wrestling on his job.
He got injured.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He got injured.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened.
Like, I think they were trying to like separate them for a while, and then he got injured.
Too bad.
Yeah. It happens.
We didn't talk about this last week, for those who were on the show. The Stardust lines that he had last week, kind of to honor his father, that's what I love.
Yeah. He's been doing that a lot lately. Because
everybody was like, oh, he needs to come back as a face, he's gonna make his face, and basically I love what he said online. I was just saying,
yes,
why would I take like one of the worst moments of my life and try to capitalize on it?
Yeah.
Instead, he's basically, because I have a feeling there's a part of him that's, or even like he quoted his dad one time, you know, start what you finish, or finish what you start.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, okay, you know, I'm gonna be this Stardust character, I'm gonna finish this out. The fact that he threw those lines in, and he didn't like capitalize on them, like not capitalize on them, but he didn't like emphasize them to make you go like, oh, but if you like caught them, you're like, oh, okay.
He's paying homage to his father. He's still honoring his father, but still being that character himself.
Yeah.
He's doing it his way, which is what made Dusty Rhodes so amazing, is that he did everything his way. Seeing Cody, not only, you know, having his father as an influence, but listening to him and applying it. That's such a key part. Him applying it the way that he's doing is stellar. And when that thing came out about him saying, why would I take one of the worst moments of my life and milk it to get notoriety and stuff, that was what I said on the podcast when we talked about it, is that he has a thing going on, the Stephen Amell thing. It's unnecessary for him to just walk out, no face paint, as Cody Rhodes saying, hey, I'm back, my dad died, let's go forward.
I think a lot of people are trying to act like, well, you know, we did this with Chavo, so we're going to do this with Cody. I'm like, it's two completely different things.
Different situations.
And Chavo felt like he needed to carry on his uncle's legacy. Because he went from, you know, that Kerwin White character that lasted like, what, a month? Eddie died, and I was like, you know, I don't want to, like, just act like I'm no longer Guerrero. I'm a Guerrero. I'm going to go with it. Cody is different, because I also think he has this family legacy that's still out there, because he still has Goldust out there, and technically, he's, like, carrying his brother's torch of going like, all right, you did weird, I want to do weird.
Yeah.
And both of his sons weren't like him. So it kind of makes sense that there's more that they could do to pay homage to their father than it came to with Chavo.
And I'm going to say Chavo, let's face it, Cody has much more potential where he's sitting at than what Chavo did where he was at when that happened.
Yeah.
Plus, Cody has a great possibility to even extend this as a face run too. My son loves him, and Katie can talk more because I kind of was privy through her Twitter timeline where he kind of honored a boy on Monday because he was his favorite wrestler. Yeah,
it came out about a week or so ago that WWE like offered this kid a contract, and I never watched the full video, but like they got on a Skype call Steph and Trips. And basically said that they were going to told this kid they were going to sign him. The fact that Stardust was his favorite wrestler. So that I love the pictures that they had of the interactions between them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe give a lot of respect for Cody. Like, not like I never had respect for him, but just to do that kind of stuff. Seeing the video of him on Monday Night being front row with the kid. Yeah, and like having that moment. I love WWE for those things. Because everything that happened with Connor was great. And a lot of people say, you know the Connor thing and it's Elijah thing. Well, they're doing it for publicity, blah, blah. There's always going to be a point that, yes, they're doing it. But I think when Trips and Steph became parents, there's a part of that family mentality that got installed into them, you know, just of where the simplest things from children just melt their hearts, and they want to give joy out as much as they can. And they have now taken all these wishes that they've done for decades, and now they're giving a select few, like, a little bit of limelight. I don't think no one's going to come close to Connor, but they took this Elijah kid, and I feel like he's similar to Connor. And they're all right, you're going through cancer and all this stuff, you know, they said this fourth time, we're going to just give you this moment to where, you know, you're going to be happy. And I love, they did a close up on, I think it was his mom, and like she was like about to cry, and you know, that's got to be a great moment.
Who's next on Keith Toss to improve?
No, Neo DRG, it hasn't hit 1 hour yet because we also talked about Rowdy Piper, and that was technically not the same.
Technically, we started 1 hour, one topic before we started talking Piper. You brought it up in the middle of it, so we're at 1 hour.
Well, if we hit 1 hour, we got to talk about John Cena.
Let's see, Andy, you went, DRG, you went, Katie, what's your keep toss improve?
My keep, Neville Rollins match. I thought it was a great way to start the show. I jumped out of my bed when I thought.
Yes! I got Katie's before she ever did it. Yes!
That sounded so weird, but anyway.
I thought he was getting a blowjob again.
I do get excited because every time that I have one, I'm like, all right, I got this one. Nobody said it. Hey, Katie, your turn. I want to keep this. Damn it, Katie.
I was going to switch it at the last minute, but I love the match so much. I thought it was fun.
Katie's credit. She didn't bitch about it like everybody else does.
That's true.
I like the setup.
She just said, fuck it. I'm saying it.
I like the setup to it. I like the setup to where, okay, yeah, I'm going to throw out a challenge, but you got to be under 200 pounds and under 6 foot tall.
When he said that, I literally went, oh, Neville's coming out, and then all of a sudden, here he comes.
Okay, at least it went Hornswoggle, damn it. As long as Hornswoggle.
I wanted to see Seth Rollins versus the man, the myth, the legend, El Torito.
Oh, you mean Baby Ziggler?
Baby Ziggler.
I hate
the false finishes in that match.
El Torito?
Awesome.
Yeah, Tyler Breeze is on the same level as El Torito to me.
Tyler Breeze. Yeah.
But isn't he supposed to be facing UHA Nation or something like that?
That's what I'm thinking.
Or the rumor.
Yeah. Or whatever his name is.
the one man nation.
I think they're going to keep UHA. They might drop Nation, but I think they'll keep
UHA. I would think they'll probably drop Nation for like Domination.
I got a mention from him on Instagram, if that counts.
Yeah. Yay! We're happy for you.
Everybody else says so-and-so retweeted me.
Hey, if Tatanka retweeted me, what are we going to go there?
Dude, if Tatanka retweeted you, I would claim it, too. That's fucking awesome.
You can follow him on Twitter at NativeTatanka. If you scroll down, you'll see my tweet that he retweeted.
Hashtag Tatanka likes barbecue.
Yes.
Your pick with Seth Rollins and Adrian Neville is excellent, and I am very glad that you picked that. I think that was an excellent call. Good job.
That was a great match between the two. I really enjoyed it.
False finishes were awesome. The referee
really pissed me off, though, because there was one point where you can tell he's slowing the count down instead of having that natural cadence. It was 1, 2, 3. You know, there was a bigger gap between 2 and 3. And I know that's just to give him time to kick out, whatever.
Maybe it's like Nick Anderson. They always do that.
He should have paced between 1 and 2, because normally it's an even pace between 1, 2, and 3. He just made it seem, the way his hand movement was, made it seem like, oh, I gotta move my arm to not hit the ground.
I've always noticed whenever they do a false 3 count, or they're not supposed to get the 3,
goes out.
It's like 1, 2, and then they go up higher.
Yeah, unless it's Earl Hebner, and then it's 1, 2, 3. He made it down to 1 knee. 1, 2. Well, he got to his second knee. 1.
After he's been knocked out for the second time.
At least.
Counts when Shawn Michaels was referee. He could do good counts. I like the way he did his counts.
We need to get Wayne's referee in there.
I'm going to give a shout out to wrestlers who are referees. I want to say shout out to Drake Younger and his job on NXT refereeing all the diva or the women's matches. He is very good at being subtle and he's not distracting, but at the same time very efficient with where he is placement-wise to make sure, like, camera angles and everything else. That guy does a great job.
I'd have a hard time making the count with a boner. That's what I'd have a hard time.
Yeah, like, flat on your belly.
Moving on. I'm actually kind of upset. I never got a picture of Drake Younger. I saw him, like, a couple times live.
Sucks, dude.
Far as I understand about him, like, because I didn't even get a chance to talk to him that much, but, like, a super, like, nice dude.
Oh, Drake, was it Drake's Peak or whatever he was using, that vertebraker? I used to love watching his matches, man. He was awesome. That was one of the reasons why, like, him, Jon Moxley, Sami Callihan, for as much as people talk shit about CZW, they have had a core group of talent that are just awesome. Like, the Team Tremendous that they're doing now with Dick Justice is just real funny stuff between them and the Beaver Boys.
All right, Katie, what's your toss to improve?
My toss is Zack Ryder. And he constantly comes out and loses.
Are you serious, bro?
Dude, he's your hometown boy, man.
I'm from Staten Island. He's from Brooklyn. Two different things.
Okay, my bad.
Are they really that different?
My eyes, they are. I lived in Staten Island my whole life. I don't go to Brooklyn that often.
Aren't they like a stone's throw away?
Wait a minute. Yeah, but he's not from Brooklyn. He's from
Long Island IZ, man.
Yeah.
Long Island, Staten Island, the island.
Ellis Island.
Speaking of
Long Island.
I turned on the TV early, and Jersey Shore was on earlier.
Best WrestleMania superstar ever.
Andy's off the call again.
You have a Jersey Shore. I got my Robbie shirt in, the one that I won for free. I wore it. I wore it. We'll just put it that way.
The bro-man's t-shirt?
No, the Robbie.
Congratulations, DRG. You officially have more TNA shirts than I do.
How many TNA shirts do you have?
Who, me?
Yeah, none.
None?
DRG. Absolutely. DRG, how many do you have?
One.
Well, please stop counting now.
I think I've got like 5, and my kids all have 1 each. My wife has 2, I think.
I have 3. I have Main Event Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
I have just the Impact Glass Shatter one.
Yeah.
And then I have an Austin Aries shirt.
Yeah.
They all look like shit.
Not all of them. The James Storm ones were pretty good.
I bought the Austin Aries one because it says the greatest man that ever lived. And I wear the CM Punk one all the time, too.
If
yeah.
I got one, it would be the joke.
Well, no, that's...
That
I've
was
got,
awful.
I've got a Sting one. I've got a Sting one. It's the one with all the scorpions on it. And I've...
I wanted the...
Trouble.
No. I wanted that at first, but when he came out with the ECF and 3, I'm like, I like that one better.
That was awesome.
And technically, that's not a TNA shirt.
Tyrus released one on his pro wrestling t-shirt that just says Tyrus.
Tyrus is freaking hilarious. If you ever watch some of their YouTube, Tyrus cracks me up.
Monster Beast.
Aces and Eights. I like that shirt.
Nomad.
But I never
I like the shirt. I just did not like the faction. But, I mean,
I like the faction.
I love EY's not Just Crazy Enough shirt. I've got that for my daughter. My other daughter has a Magnus shirt, the Victory Blue, and I like that one because of the coloring for it.
Nick
Aldous.
Yeah.
My oldest son has a Wolves shirt, which he absolutely loves. He wears that thing to school and stuff because he likes it. But they don't have, like, they just always did the Affliction stuff, and I fucking hated the Affliction shirt. And if they would have got away from it more, I would have bought more of them, but it was just that.
That's the thing that I always said. If I went to an independent show, Barbershop Window, when it was really big, now it's part of Pro Wrestling Tees, so you count Pro Wrestling Tees into that down too, and WWE, majority of their shirts are very simple, and they're equivalent to just a graphic tee. Graphic tees never go out of style. They alter certain things, but they're always, you can wear a graphic tee from 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and it's still going to be, like, maybe not popular, but, like, it's still going to be not look as bad as these fucking dated Affliction
style
shirts.
You're not going to look like a giant douchebag walking around with a graphic tee. With some of the TNA stuff, it's a giant, like, this Robbie E shirt, dude, the material's great, it feels nice, it's real soft, it just looks strange. But, like, the Beer Hunter shirt, the stuff with James Storm, one of the reasons why his was so unique and I liked his shirts was because it was more of a country stuff. It wasn't, you know, Prize Fighter or Tap Out or any of those kinds of things. It was its own
hardcore country.
Yeah, right? That's,
like, I have more ROH shirts than I do TNA shirts.
He has one.
Exactly. It's like my Kill Steen shirt.
That is the only shirt that I ever wanted from ROH. To be honest, if Lucha Underground would come out with a freaking shop center and I could buy masks, my little boy would have, like, at least 3 or 4 of them. He's got a Manic mask now, but there's, like, several of them that I want to buy from him, like the King Cuerno mask or the Killshot's mask with the bullseye on it and stuff. I wouldn't mind getting him those because he uses them whenever he's playing wrestling with his figures.
I'd buy a Sexy Star mask and put it on my wife.
I hope your wife listens to this and kicks you so hard in the balls for that comment. It's comments like that, Andy, are the reasons why you don't get blowjobs on a podcast and I do.
That's because he keeps giving his wife Benadryl.
She actually flashed me about 15 minutes ago.
When her mouth is drooled open, he just kind of flits it in.
As soon as he feels the drill, he goes, yep, it's time.
Yeah. Those both of yours, Katie, right?
Yep.
I don't give her Benadryl, I'll give her Quaaludes.
Oh, God. All right, but Biohazard, is your keep toss or improve?
Chirp. Nothing.
Bio.
He dropped.
No, I'm back.
No, he's still showing up. Jesus. What is your keep toss or improve?
Right now, I want to toss Mark Henry. Mainly because just lately he's just been a jobber. And I hate to see somebody that just 3 years ago he was on top of the mountain and now what? He's not doing anything but losing to everyone.
What do you mean? Somebody's about to get their wig split.
I want somebody to get their wig split because he was a great heel when he did his Hall of Pain stuff and then it just kind of petered off. And he hasn't done anything lately. When he did the retirement speech, I marked out because that was right at the end where he did the strongest slam to John Cena. He had me good, and I got, all right?
The boot. When he
I almost went and got a pink salmon sport coat after that.
When he brought the boots, I thought that it was done, because that is a tradition in wrestling, is that when you put those boots out on the ring, you're hanging them up. You know, so that was what got me with it.
Yeah, and then after that, he did his feud with John Cena, and then what? Feud with Big Show? That was it?
He got hurt, didn't he?
Rusev?
Yeah, Rusev kicked his ass last night. And then he did the...
Brock Lesnar put him through a table or something.
Yeah, he had put the morph on him and broke his... did the kayfabe injury angle, didn't he?
Something like that.
I would just like to see him, if they're going to use him, to utilize him better. But right now, I'd just toss him. Keep him off TV for now. I'd bring him back in the Rumble.
You didn't like him?
I think he's just
like
part-time.
I'm sorry.
No, I just going to say, I think he's part-time kind of thing.
Yeah, he's on his way to retirement is what it is.
They kind of just brought him out for the Elimination Chamber because they were in Texas, and they kind of kept him on.
Who's more likely to retire first, him or Big Show?
Mark Henry.
Hopefully both in the same match.
With Kane.
No, Kane needs to be done one way. Where did I say it last? I was on this show. Or maybe it was just a Skype podcast.
I think it was the show. Yeah.
Where are you talking about Undertaker?
Yeah. GBL had an idea years ago. I actually think it would be good. You have Undertaker and Kane go each other at WrestleMania, and you have the lights go out, and they both disappear.
Oh, yeah. You said that in an email on the...
Oh, yes!
Oh, yes.
I think the only problem with that is everyone in that crowd's going to go, what the fuck, and start booing.
If it's done right, it's not just they both disappear. Like maybe there's
clash
they
of
both,
lightning.
Like,
that lightning strike adds so much to it.
Yeah, and actually, he said it way before he said it on an email. He said it on the Weekend Review a long time ago.
I think if they had the match, they had whoever go over. Maybe Kane go over because he hasn't. They fought twice already, and Undertaker won both times. So Kane goes over. They embrace since they're brothers or whatever. Pyro goes off. Lights go out. They're gone. Lights come back on.
Lights go out, lightning strikes, and then that low flame comes up from the side around the ring in a square. And that's how they tell that they're no longer in the ring, is because you see the glow of the fire. And nobody's in the ring.
Yeah,
I like it.
Crescendo moment, like a motherfucker.
Book it.
Red
WWE,
book that motherfucker.
Book it right now.
Yes, because they're listening. We're the podcast that's afraid to sing the happy birthday song because we might get sued. So obviously the WWE.
Who's afraid?
Even though we used like WWE related stuff.
Like I don't know what these songs.
Get the gods, but hanging around.
To the music.
Let's get it on, man.
Alright, well, all right. I'll go ahead and move it on to my keep is, since I'm able to do it, my keep is Chad Gable.
Yes!
Okay, Daniel Bryan. Anyway, his in-ring work the last 2 weeks on NXT have been pretty stellar. And teaming him with Jason Jordan, I think that's the guy's name. I still don't know.
Yeah, Jason Jordan.
They've been pretty... I've liked them as a team together and the story building up to it where Jordan's like, man, I don't want you on my team. And then all of a sudden he's like, fine, I'm losing every week. What could hurt? And then they start winning everything. Their finisher is Jason Jordan picks up the guy and throws him in the air, and then Gable catches him in a, was a bridging back... Yeah.
It's a backdrop driver.
Holy shit. That move is pretty fucking epic.
Not just that, Gable's talking ability is awesome. He reminds me of a young Kurt Angle when Kurt Angle was doing, like, the comedy-ish stuff.
I actually said exactly that.
he's very charismatic. And very, he draws your attention to him. And he does a wonderful job in the ring, very serviceable, amazing athlete. But he has something about him in that charisma department that I can't wait to see his career flourishing, because he's gonna be a star. I think he is perfect.
I just hope he doesn't turn into another Charlie Haas.
Oh, I don't think Charlie Haas ever showed as much charisma as Gable has.
I don't want them to be the next Haas and Benjamin, you know?
What was their name? World's Greatest Tag Team? Is that right?
Yeah. Did nobody else watch NXT?
I don't know, but I would keep the Gable. Definitely keep the Gable.
Is that a kayfabe?
No, it's his real name, isn't it? Because he was
an Olympic.
U.S. Olympic team.
Because Dan Gable, like I said, I didn't know if it was a kayfabe thing. Because, you know, Dan Gable, he's like one of the most famous Olympic wrestlers around.
That's his grandfather. Did you not know that?
Awesome. I did not know. I haven't really been following.
It's his grandfather. He actually trained him in some barn or something in Pennsylvania. He talked about it one time. It was this barn in Pennsylvania. It was him and a couple of other of his cousins. And one of his cousins actually died in a wrestling match because Dan Gable said, you know,
one of y'all's walking out of here and the other one's not making it out of here. So Chad had to kill his cousin in order to make it out of the barn, and that's what drove him to get into the Olympics and win, I think it was the super heavyweight. And once he won that accolade, and, you know, WWE was knocking down his door, that's when he had to meet Pat Patterson and was introduced to the casting couch. And apparently Gable was so able that they immediately pushed him to NXT after only being there for 3 weeks. So it's a really cool story. You should look into it.
It's cool. Yeah, all right, yeah.
Is that really true? What's
that?
That, not a single word of that was true.
I went after earlier. I'm not believing a damn thing he's saying.
My God. I'm telling you.
I was like, after that story earlier, I'm not believing anything.
I'm going to go down the middle and I'm going to super kick you right in your face.
I don't think you could get your leg that high, Andy.
I was going to say, because if it was anything to do with Dan Gable, I would have known about it. I'm like, okay.
I don't think Andy's wife would let his balls that far out of her sight.
I lost my balls in the farming accident. Thank you very much.
Dude, you had a sex transplant. You went to Trinidad, Colorado, and you went to that doctor, and he nipped them and tucked them inside, and your wife keeps them in her purse. You already told this story twice. It's okay. Just admit to it.
Andy would believe that, Trey.
Oh, I can't believe you believe me, Andy. That's awesome.
I literally went after that fucking story from earlier. I'm not believing anything you say. Until I have it in front of me on paper.
When I said Pat Patterson's casting couch, you should have known at that point.
Yeah.
When you said they had to wrestle each other and die.
I wanted to make jokes about it. Gosh darn it.
When I heard the word gold, I was just like, what?
When you said they had to wrestle until one died, I went, whatever.
It must be some figure. I think they're using a figure of speech or something. I don't know what the hell. Have you there?
He's taking a nap while we're talking about Chad Gable. Because he's willing and able to do so.
Yes. And on to my keep tosser improve.
After an hour.
No, we're at an hour and a half.
Vamp's going, God damn it, this is not going.
This isn't my format. This isn't my format at all.
We're all over the place.
You gotta remember, I'm gonna be cutting out silences and everything, so it's not gonna come out as bad. And then we did talk about Piper for a good
20-30.
We talked about Piper for about 20 minutes, but then there's tangents that lasted about another 10 minutes. So.
Sorry,
the tangents, 10 minutes a piece, and there was 15
10
of them.
Minutes of Rory's made up by DRG.
Can we hurry this up so I can go upstairs and screw my wife?
No.
He's only saying that now.
That's
what we're gonna have to do. What, did the Benadryl finally kick in?
Yes, that's what I was about to say.
Is your wife's name Jill?
No.
Playloads do have a shelf life, guys. Come on.
My keep tosser improvement with keep is Cesaro and Owens. I did enjoy that segment. I think the highlight was when they both told Miz to shut up at the same time.
Yeah.
I did love Owens kissing Miz's ass a little bit. Yeah, I got all your movies on Blu-ray and everything. That cracked me up, but whenever they both told him to shut up, that was awesome.
I was like, does anyone own his videos on Blu-ray and DVD? I don't think I've even seen his movies.
I've never seen a Miz movie, just like I never watched The Chaperone either.
I never watched him in the real world. What makes you think you want to watch him in a movie?
I think I've only ever seen the first Marine.
John Cena.
I own See No Evil. Yeah.
That was the best one they ever did.
I only got through a part of it every other time. It led to sex with ex-girlfriends, not because of the movie. It was just more like
creepy mania.
It's more like,
with
let's
the
just
hook makes you want.
How many crazy things are you heavy? How many crazy?
No, if you don't interrupt and hear the whole story, what has nothing to do with the movie. It's just more like, this movie sucks. Let's do something else.
I think Kane pulling eyeballs out really turned her on.
The idea of them being locked in a cage and
making her swallow a cell phone, she probably cinched it.
The call was the one I liked.
I never even got that far in that fucking movie.
I never got to see the call.
It's about a phone call.
I got paid to rate the trailer for what was that reunion type movie that they did?
The Reunion.
I've
seen a
movie.
Yeah, it's called
Reunion. Is it called The Reunion?
Yeah, my wife actually watched that. She liked it.
I want to see the one where he was a wrestling coach. I want to see that movie.
Andy, quit interrupting. Heavy is talking.
You guys all interrupt, so don't fucking point point fingers at Andy. I got, there was a Raw that I went to, and we got our tickets early on, and we got selected to watch that trailer, give us our thoughts on what we thought about it, and then, well, a survey, I should say, and we got paid $20 each.
I'm sorry.
Screw $20. Give me a t-shirt.
Did they come out and say, hey, yo, I want to take a survey?
Why would they do that, Scott Hall?
I wish I got paid.
So technically, WWE's actually paid me money.
And paid me money, but they paid me a lot of fucking attention with those emails telling me to subscribe to the network. Those fucking assholes. They go straight to my spam now.
Why did my tosser improve? We can go into it, but like I didn't find the page podcast to be that interesting.
I only made it halfway through, and then I had to do other things, so I didn't finish it yet.
I wish that they would cut it differently. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I thought it because I thought she was the most sort of real person on that show. He had Vince and Triple H on there, and they were very corporate. She seemed real genuine. She came off as a real person. Her story is unique, and even Austin was surprised by some of the stuff. I liked it. It wasn't the best, but it was enjoyable to me.
Well, what I was thinking, come off like a real person. What the fuck are you gonna ask her? That, like, compared to everybody else, she's like the lowest profile of someone they've had on there.
Yeah.
So yeah, she came off like a real person because there's almost like nothing you can ask her. Like her, yeah, okay, yeah, she's been a 10-year vet, but still, like, when you compare it to having like Vince on and Triple H on and Stephanie on and Paul Heyman, there's just so much stuff to go in there. And when you have Austin, it's supposed to be we're gonna have you on because we want Austin to ask some questions that people go, oh,
yeah,
right.
For it's like, what are you gonna ask Paige?
What I was thinking about was, well, they want to push Tough Enough, and if you would have had if you would have had Badass on there, everybody would be like, well, that's just Triple H's friend because Hogan couldn't be there, so they just put him in. And you're not going to put Booker T on there because that would have been great Tough Questions if you would have had Booker T up there. But
what about Daniel Bryan, having Daniel Bryan?
Bryan would
ask him how being a vegan.
Bryan would have been good, but they might not have wanted him in front of a live mic.
I started to listen to a clip of his book, and it's pretty interesting. I want to hear the rest.
Yeah, I meant to mention last week that I finished it up.
It sounds interesting.
It's okay. I'm trying to like figure out where I'm comparing it on the rest of the wrestling books I've read. I think the best ones were Hogan, Austin, and Lita, only because they read them, and it's just the way they delivered it was a lot easier. But Daniel Bryan, you could tell like he wrote it, and then like someone else like came in and like formatted certain parts because they didn't exactly sound like him. It sounded like him to an extent, but like him reading it just came off kind of weird.
Well, yeah, it's a lot bigger words than he probably would use.
I know that is. It's not the words. It's just formatting the sentence. Like, I grew up in Seattle, Washington, blah, blah, blah. Like, just how he was talking. It's not like he's talking to you. It's just more like, this is where I grew up. And my father, he was a locksmith. He did this. He did that.
To be honest. Paige should have.
It didn't come out as great as Austin and Hogan's did.
Paige should have been a Jericho interview. And if they wanted to do something that.
Yes.
That I would have seen as controversial, I would have loved to have seen them had Sable on as a guest, especially the way that the Paul Heyman podcast with Austin ended. Sable can tell a lot of stories, a lot of controversial stuff, especially being the premier diva, or whatever you want to call her, that she was, that would have gotten people interested. Plus, you haven't heard from Sable in Lord knows how long, and then building in that little tension between Brock Lesnar and Austin in there could have been an interesting way of going about it. I think Paige was a fizzle. It should have been a Jericho interview, like I said.
Well, Hogan, fuck, or I should say, Gawker, fuck them, because Hogan would have been in there, that would have
Bubba the Lunch Bub wife, and that's what
that's one way to put it. But it's just that would have been so much better. And it's the formatting thing, it was such a great point. Because that is, like, Paige is Jericho. That's perfect.
They really didn't even promote her on it either.
Yeah, because they were kind of pissed that everything happened to Hogan. They were just going, like, oh, fuck, yeah, we got Paige now. Go watch Paige.
Is Tyson out of the hospital?
Yeah, he's been back at his house for a while.
I think that's one that they could have drawn on, because I'm sure a lot of people are wondering or wanting to hear from him, and that could have been maybe not the ratings generator that Hogan would have been. But if you're ever in a position that you're like, oh, fuck, we can't do anything now, what's going to get anything? I think that he would have been somebody that would have at least gotten some interest from those people that are already subscribed to the network.
Well, Undertaker's supposed to be on whenever. I think that was on, like, the press release. He's going to be one of the guests, and Sting, whenever that's going
to
happen.
It's going to be fun. Lex Luger is another one that I think would be fun to hear Austin, because they had hearing the way that they talked about Luger and people like that back in those days versus growing up and maturing and hearing his perspective on it now would be quite interesting.
The one that I would have liked to have seen, but they must be waiting for a certain month for it, is Taker.
Yeah. Well, November.
They don't want to break kayfabe right now, I don't think, with Taker.
Well, it's just they're probably waiting. It's just they had stuff planned for certain months.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be Hogan and Tough Enough. I don't know which one you said, November. I think that's another possibility because that's the 25-year anniversary
of the debut.
Yeah. So that could be where. So that could be an option.
Yeah.
When there, how many podcasts he was supposed to be doing? I can't remember. They announced it.
I don't know if there were ones like.
But well, no, they said he was going to do like so many. Then there was like they were like these wrestlers. Hogan.
I wonder if they'll interview the car that Brock Lesnar smashed.
That would be a good one. That would be a real good one. Austin could get a 5-star interview out of that.
Like have axe handles around in the background. Yeah.
All right.
And then have
a
audio from the fan that got hit by the door.
2 hours later, let's get on to what's
on. With that being said, let's get into what's on.
That's my shit.
Yeah. All right, Biohazard.
Well, I watched NXT.
All right, Double A.
So he only got two last time. Let the poor boy talk.
Boy, who are you calling boy?
You racist bastard.
He's younger than me, I'm sorry.
He's called me a boy. He's a racist. Anyway, lately I've just been watching gameplay videos. I haven't really been watching anything this week. I watched Yoshi's Woolly World. I don't know if it's already out or if it's about to come out, but it's basically a yarn version of Yoshi's Island. But you don't deal with the stupid Mario thing.
How's your Five Nights at Freddy's?
The fourth game came out. It came out 2 weeks ago, and fuck the fourth game. It's the hardest one, and it's the scariest one of all of them. He changed the game mechanics where your character actually moves, but it's like you run up to the closet, or you're in a bedroom instead of an office, and you have to run up to the door, and you have to wear headphones, because you have to listen to see if there's an animatronic at your door. If you hear breathing, you close the door and wait for him to walk away. And if you don't, if you're like, oh, I don't hear anything, you shine your flashlight, because if they're at the end of the hall, they'll go away.
Flash.
Does animatronics,
anyway.
Man.
Dude. So you're trying to say don't have my kids like that before they go to bed?
Yeah.
Well, you give them Benadryl.
If you like jump scare style stuff, the game's for you. If you don't, I would not recommend even watching gameplay videos for it. But that's really all I've been doing.
A wonderful life you live.
Well, we were supposed to be recording, but some dumbass doesn't know what the third is, and. And
yeah, how's your band going?
Other than that, it's good. We practice.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, next.
Andy.
Well, I watched.
What is your?
I watched.
You watch.
Upper crap bottles of history. Upper crap bottles of history. I thought it was my favorite one ever. Stan Lee versus
favorite Jeter.
I'll have to watch the video.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch the video too. The beat and the song itself is really good. The surprise.
I thought the guy that played Jim Henson was awesome. It's like a spot
nice,
on.
Spot on.
Fresh.
Nice, Peter.
He did a really, really good job. And the surprise.
My favorite one. My favorite one is Hannibal Lecter versus Jack the Ripper.
Oh, that's such a good one. The Doctor Who and
I like
Doc Brown. That's one of my favorites.
Turtles versus Artist.
Turtles versus Artist. Ghostbusters versus MythBusters.
Edgar Allan Poe versus Stephen King is my second favorite.
The director's the one. Oh, that's.
I actually really liked the Eastern Philosophers versus Western Philosophers one. One where it's like Sun Tzu, Lao Tzu, and Confucius.
Yeah, it's going to take me a while to get used to that one.
Yeah, I listened to it not on, like, I didn't watch the video, I just listened to it in my car. It sounds really good.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Spartacus, or, Socrates. Spell my name.
The one that I did not like was Odin. Was it Odin
Zeus
versus
Thor and
Zeus
versus Thor? I like the music, and then they did the Lego thing because they were partnering with that guy.
Yeah, but it just didn't work for me. I don't know. I just didn't like it.
I don't get nice. I get Norse.
It's low key.
Yeah.
And then I listened to Devil Vamp's new game show. I thought that was fucking.
I thought we were going to this whole show that I could mention.
What are we talking about with the game show? What is that that you're speaking of, Andy?
Devil Vamp's game show. What network are you on? Right on
this JAP.com. Are you serious, bro?
My favorite part was Anthony on that show. They reminds me of the old Japanese where they would make fun of Japanese TV show going on.
Castle, Most like, Extreme Challenge, MXC.
Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
Yeah.
That was
at the end where Devil and Ant are talking back and forth and they're making fun of everybody. I thought it was funny.
Wayne reading Green Eggs and Ham cracked me the fuck up.
I love that when he read 50 Shades of Grey, it kind of creeped me out a little bit.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey, that was the best one.
He's talking about, the man kissed me on the lip, and I went, whoa. I was like, hold on. I was like, I don't judge Wayne, but I think your wife would get jealous.
Part of that thing was Mop arguing with the host as to what the answer was and then winning the argument and said points for that argument.
I agree with his argument. That was good.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But it's like, that's Mop. Mop wins.
Oh,
he goes, fuck it. What do you win? Absolutely nothing.
That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah.
All right, Katie.
Well,
Katie, what's on?
Damn peppy for me.
Yeah,
I watched a lot. I watched a lot of the now. I wanted to have a lot of the Piper in it, which I realized this before the tragedy happened. So it was just like weird foreshadowing. But other than that, I watched a lot of the stuff they put on to promote Click Week, like from that new DVD about the Click. And there was the little short documentary on Kevin Nash, which showed behind the scenes stuff of him going into the Hall of Fame, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, I want that DVD. I caught those specials. They were really cool.
Well, it's on the network now, that whole thing. It's basically just a bunch of matches and stuff.
Is that what the DVD is, just the matches?
Yeah, matches that features them either fighting each other or fighting other opponents.
Never mind.
It has Triple H at the beginning doing an intro saying, this is all the stuff from the Click. And at the end, he's like, I got two words for you if you didn't like it. Suck it.
Yeah, if I were to purchase anything that said suck it, it's going to be a Young Buck shirt.
Oh, did you see
it? It was
another
little thing, I think.
Oh, sorry.
But, yeah, I caught it. I liked what was on the network. It was really good. If the DVD had more, like, interviews and insights into other things, I would probably buy it.
There's another thing on there that I think is on the DVD. It's all of them backstage. It looks like the gorilla position, but it could
it's
be somewhere
for
else.
I think it was for the Hall of Fame when Scott went in. Like, they were setting up for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Scott Hall was going in.
Yeah.
It was the first time they all saw each other in, like, years and stuff, and they were just reminiscing about stuff, matches, and things like that, which was cool.
Yeah, I watched that special, and then there was another one, and it played the exact same footage. I was like,
And they also watched a lot of Attitude Era Raws, a lot of corporate ministry stuff.
DRG, what's up?
Old school Twilight Zone. I don't know what it is, but the 1950s and 60s version of the Twilight Zone, I've been watching, binge watching these things, and they're amazing. Like, the some of them are hokey as hell. No.
Did you go through the scary door to get there?
No, I went through the, there's a signpost coming straight ahead. My next exit was for the Twilight Zone, but, I got to see a lot of, like, I haven't gotten to, like, the season 4 William Shatner stuff, but I saw some of my favorites, like, the little boy with mind control. I watched that episode, and then the two diners who got car trouble and got stuck there, and they're sitting there playing this little fortune-telling game that's a napkin holder. And it makes them question, you know, if they should leave or not because all these events occur. And there's some really cool, interesting stuff. A lot of the things that you see in modern day sci-fi are stories that are told back in these Twilight Zone things and these little short 30 minute shows. And some of the acting in these are excellent, but I don't know. That's just what I've been binge watching here lately. Other than that, I've been watching a couple of flicks that I hadn't seen yet. Watched Get Hard the other day, which was a letdown.
So you didn't get hard watching it?
No, I don't know what it is, but Will Ferrell is so hit or miss with me. Like, there's some movies of his that are just, like, awesome, quotable, hilarious,
in some of them where he just, it's like he tries too hard. I don't know if that's what it is. Like he was trying to play that pure white bread guy, and when he was coming across as a racist, it was funny because it seemed like natural for the character. But when he was going over the top with creating like curse words and stuff just to say for the sake of the animal,
I love Get Hard. Go fuck your face.
He didn't say that. He said go fuck your cock.
Something like that. It was like, what? Yeah.
I'm sure you loved it, Andy, because they had this part where they showed him putting his face on a dick, and yeah, but I could have lived without that.
I totally forgot about that. Where it's like, you gotta get used to blowing people. Just go suck the dick.
The best part of the movie for me was when Kevin Hart was sitting there clapping his hands, and he goes, what's that? Why are you clapping that? That's the sound of a man fucking you in prison. And he just kept going, oh, wait, that's a tag in. Here's a rabbit. Clap, 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 clap. That was funny. And then him and T.I., you know, being the Mayo the gangster, teaching him how to be on the stock market was pretty funny. Other than that, it wasn't near as funny as, I guess one of the problems that I have is I listen to other people's opinions when they say, oh, this is really great, this is really great, and I get it set in my mind that I'm expecting something it doesn't live up to.
Yeah, I've learned to like, just like pay-per-views and stuff, to have no expectations going into it, to try and be okay with it. Kind of like going into the, the Mel Gibson remake that just came out.
Mad Max?
Yeah, Mad Max. Everybody's being, oh, this is awesome, this is awesome. Well, I went in thinking, okay, now just settle down. It's probably not as good as everybody's talking about, but I thought it was awesome.
I love Tom Hardy. Like, ever since I saw Layer Cake and then found out that he played Bane, that dude can do no wrong.
He played Bane, yeah.
Yeah, he did a good job in that. Lawless, he did excellent playing the older brother. Just, Tom Hardy's the man.
He's in Warriors.
Great. Lawless, such a great Western.
I wouldn't necessarily call it a Western. It was more like 1920s, 1930s, but...
It's a Western. Just ask Old School.
Old School called Lawless a Western?
he's probably tweeting me right now. Fuck you.
Oh my God!
And
Ant Man's gonna do horrible too.
That's
Airball.
That's back in the early days of Old School. I want to say that's like when we first started.
I can't insult Old School because I pissed off Carp during live tweets of Death Before Dishonor or whatever.
I heard.
Oh, that was so funny. I don't remember what I said that got him pissed off, but there was one point he's like, "DRG, what the fuck, man?" Carp, if you ever listen to this, I love you. The only reason why I make fun of you is because I like you. Mr. Wolf Cop is a great movie. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. Alex Cross was so stupid. It was dumb. It was horrible. But Wolf Cop was amazing. Yeah, what the fuck ever.
Anyway, it's on to me now that we have Biohazard back. No, he's already went.
Yeah.
Your internet's horrible.
No, I'm on Skype on my Xbox, and my Xbox reset itself for some reason.
So it's a girl house. Anyway. let me see, what have I been watching, or what's on, obviously, Epic Rap Battles of History, the season 4, I can't believe they just ended season 4, it's crazy, I know we already talked about it, and if you go to the end of this episode, you will hear the full song. I didn't really get to talk about it, but I finished Daniel Bryan's book before last week's episode. It's okay, like I explained earlier, just him reading it, even though it's his words, it just came off kind of weird. But interesting story, just going through his life. There was these little parts before every chapter where it's not, he's not the one reading it, and it's not his words. It's kind of like going through those final moments going into WrestleMania 30 and going into each matches, and it's very similar to like the documentary that you saw on the network. Let me see. I listened to Brock Lesnar's book recently too. His story mirrors that of CM Punk.
That's called
to the fact of
right?
he had creative problems before he left WWE. He has had a lawsuit after leaving WWE. Their significant others, which I believe both were just girlfriends at the time, were still in WWE, and they basically both left because of who they were with. I don't know if Sable was married at that point or not. Obviously the Paul Heyman connection, the UFC connection. Brock, by the sound of the way he was writing that book, like he never wanted to go back to WWE ever. And he talked about kind of the backstage nature that you have in WWE and all the stuff he went through. And it's just very similar to the way Punk talked. And I'm just like, I'm starting to think by 2020, Punk will be back in WWE. That sounds so long, like so far from now. But if you really look at it, Brock left in 2004 and he came back in 2012? Yeah. So at that point, 4 and 12, I mean, that seemed like a long time. But 2020, I could very well see Punk back in WWE. I think he's going to go through the same stuff. And oh, money was a very big thing for Brock Lesnar. Very, very big thing for Brock Lesnar. And that's kind of the way Punk is too. And I'm curious to what happened. Because his Brock's book goes pretty much all the way up to either right before he retires or after he retires. But all the stuff that he kind of talks about WWE makes you think he's never going to go back. But there was definitely a money thing. He was actually wanting to come back in the couple years after he left. But Vince was so pissed at how he left, he wanted to start him out financially, like at the bottom level. And obviously, when he finally did come back, he got like the biggest contract ever for like the least amount of dates. So why can't Punk take everything that he ever wanted, go away and do UFC, put wrestling on the back burner of his mind, and then eventually he comes back to it? Actually, you would probably see him and AJ come back together one way or another. And like, you're going to print money in WWE because of that. But they have to stay away from WWE for a while. And it just, like I said, it just mirrors that of Brock Lesnar. Minus Sable, if Sable ever came back. And that's the other thing, too. They are both very private people, even though Brock Lesnar is hardcore private. Like, the way he talks reminded me of Punk, of saying, you know, when I come to the arena and all that kind of stuff, I'm expected to do my job, be an entertainer and do this and do that. But when I'm out with my family, I'm no longer Brock Lesnar. I'm Dad. And, like basically saying, like, he can, like, say, like, don't come up and talk to me, but he just says how he feels, like, that's rude and I don't owe you anything. Because if I owed you anything, you know, I gave it to you when you had your ticket. I gave it to you when you watched me on TV. I gave it to you when you bought my merchandise. Like, I don't owe you anything. And I agree with that. That's very, I think, very similar. Punk never said that, but you know that was very similar to what he did. And actually, what I did recently, too, is when I went to Comic-Con a couple years ago and met Punk, the panel for that event is online. And for the first time since he left, I went down and rewatched it. And some of the stuff that he says kind of makes me go, he kind of hinted to, like, some of the stuff that he later talking about after he left, of, like, his relationship with everybody in the back and all that kind of stuff. Of just saying, like, you know, like, hey, are they going to ever change the WWE, the title? He's like, I've been trying, blah, 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 blah. And he talks about how he's, I forget exactly what he says. And he's like, you know, that's going to get online. He hit the dirt sheets. And I'll be like, no, you shouldn't have said that. And they wanted him, and I vividly remember when he talked about this. Like, they had a show in Topeka, Kansas that day, but he already made the commitment that he was going to go to Wizard World. And Punk really was the first one of my knowledge that I think had a relationship with Wizard World that was in WWE. And since then, I mean, WWE and Wizard World have grown together, but I guess they wanted Punk to be pulled from the show. And Punk was like, no.
They had, the show was in Mexico, it was a Mexico tour. And Wizard World contacted him, offered him $20,000. For one day, and then WWE said, no, send these guys, and then Punk, we need you on the Mexico tour, it's not doing too well. And
Is that the original negotiation between them?
I think he talked about it on the podcast, on his podcast.
Yeah, I listened to it again the other day. He lost out on
$20,000. I remember him talking about that, but he, like I said, like he went, and that was October
2002?
of 2012,
right?
Yeah, because he was champion. Like he was champion for 300.
Right, he was going to Kansas then. I remember that one. Yeah. Of course I do. But
rewatch it. I'm sitting in front row.
Yeah, I remember that one. He was supposed to go, but he said, "I'll go, but I still want to do this." So he couldn't stay. He was on a very tight schedule. That one.
Yeah, that sucked. I was so pissed. Yeah, he always goes for these, like, hour and a half, 2 hour seminar, question and answer. He's like, we have a half hour.
I know.
Actually, he didn't say that. The guy who ran, he was like, we got a half hour. I do love that one because towards the end, they're like, all right, this is going to have to be the last question. And Punk sees that there's like five or six.
And like,
yeah, and he's like, no. He's like, no. We'll do rapid fire. So hit him quick. The first guy's like, all right, CM Punk, I'm a big fan. And I've been following your career. And I'm thinking, like, there's times that, like, I'm watching his facial expressions and thinking of, like, what he's thinking. Because a lot of them are just like, Punk, I'm a real big fan. And then they just, like, pause. He's kind of, like, thinking, all right, hurry up. Yeah, I got it. That's why you're here. Hurry up. What question you got? But just watching some of that stuff. And, like I said, how they wanted him to cancel out, not go to the Comic-Con, and stay in Kansas. And he, you know, went there and back within a day. And that's some of, like, a hands, like, just a sample of the shit he went through. And, I mean, I get it.
At the Comic-Con, did a guy go and say, see, Mr. CM Punk, sir, I gotta say thank you for what you said and what you did to your bodies is still real to me, damn it.
No, but a girl tried to talk like Bane.
Oh, yeah. But she was iffy about it. She got nervous.
And she said, when John Cena is in ashes, you have my permission to retire. Well, he's not in ashes, Punk, and you're no longer now allowed to retire, so fuck off. I've been watching other stuff on YouTube. I watched something on Netflix. I can't remember what the fuck it was. Oh, another show, a show that I've been listening to, but it's on XM, is, it's called The Bonfire. It's on Comedy Central. And the two people they have hosting it, one's named Big J Okerson, the other one's named Dan Soder. These guys are pretty funny. They're actually, Dan Soder's a wrestling fan. The first episode was they only do Monday and Wednesdays. Monday they talked about Hogan and all that kind of stuff. And Dan Soder does the most spot on fuck you Jay Lethal Macho Man impression, where I was listening to it and I'm like, it fucking sounds like Macho Man. It's ridiculous. I'm trying to find a place where I can get the audio. It's so fucking spot on. But, well, the reason why I bring that up too is because Big Jay Okerson, he has an album out that I'm debating on buying eventually, where he does crowd work, where what you do is you just talk to the crowd and, like, you come up with, you don't come in with material. You play off what they say to you and all that kind of stuff. You ask them questions and back and forth. I watched part of a documentary / stand up thing for Todd Barry. It's a crowd work thing, and that's something I've been getting into lately. I don't know. I kind of like comedy like that. I think that's pretty much it.
And on that note, I've got to bounce, guys. It's been a pleasure being a part of the DSJMP.com WrestleCast.
Take care. What's your best of the week for you?
Best of the week has to be Brian Cage versus Willie Mack in Lucha Underground. A stellar match in which these two beat the ever-living shit out of each other up and down the aisles, to which we saw a nice suplex from the Mac onto Brian Cage on bleachers. Quite impressive. Give it a look. This has been DRG. You can follow me on Twitter at MRDRG_WIR. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Tell your wife she owes me a blowjob.
No. I gotta go find the Benadryl. Damn it. Bye.
Bye. Bye. All right, let's get into the bio dump. No, let's get the emails. With that being said, let's get into bio dump.
I'm already here.
Oh.
But he was our only emailer. that and Kata, and then we took a shit on him. But you wonder why we shit on you, Kata? A, because you're a little cunt. B, because you don't email the show anymore. See,
hold on. The email thing, Vamp kind of fucked that up. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. Vamp fucked that up. And I like those. I did like those emails. Those emails were fun. They're simple.
He didn't have to include deaths in everyone.
It was a good bathroom break.
No, I don't mind deaths. It reminds me of on PTI. Towards the end of the show, they do certain things. A lot of times they have, like, where they mention, like, deaths or something like that. So, like, I don't know. That didn't bother me. But maybe, like, have a week or so here and there where you don't mention them, or if you have deaths on there, don't mention, like, how a guy got electrocuted and all this other stuff.
Choked on their own vomit.
There was one that we didn't even read on the show, but we read it later, and it was like there was a death. TNA had a messed up show because a guy got electrocuted. All of a sudden we're like, holy shit, this is fucking depressing. Good thing we didn't fucking read it.
Like four deaths and a funeral, or.
All right, let's get into the news.
All right, well, we all know the whole Roddy Piper thing where he passed away. I'm trying to get the article to pull up, and the internet's being stupid again. But I have a quick little funny story. Did you guys notice the Cesaro section signs on Raw?
Yes.
Apparently there was one guy printed 7,000 of them and handed them out to the fans.
Holy shit. I hate to see his kinkles, Bill. Well, I don't think they were full sets of paper, were they?
They were full size sheets of paper.
Oh, shit.
And all they did was say Cesaro section. Anyway, Dana White becomes biggest heel in pro wrestling history.
Why? What did you say?
Somebody sent him a tweet saying, WWE's got you beat for pay-per-views since theirs are only $9.99. And he says, yeah, I would only pay $9.99 too for some fake shit. And so everybody in the pro wrestling world has jumped down Dana White's throat. And Seth Rollins said, he said, guys, come on, cut him break. He's had millions of matches in the ring.
My favorite was Virgil's.
My favorite, actually, and I think it was funny how it was done, of all people, Kevin Owens. Because I'm guessing it was basically towards the whole Dana White situation, but he just said, can't wait to get in the ring tonight and have a blast while not worrying about what others say or think. Who cares? Just enjoy life. Which, it's very, very true. And Dana White is, it's kind of funny. It's like, you don't say think. You know enough wrestlers. You know to say fake is a slap in the face, and they're going to see it because of Twitter. Yeah, you're trying to shut up a troll, I get it, so you're going to throw that out there to downgrade it, but there's enough people, and it's just basically don't, like on TV, you don't say the F word. When you're talking about wrestling, you don't say the other F word, because you will have so many repercussions to pay from that fan base, and there was a lot of people that said shit.
As Goldberg would say, it's predetermined, son.
Well, yeah, that's what you got to say. You got to say it's predetermined. When you're, the analogy that I heard today was, you know, when you're watching something on a TV show or a movie, and it looks like somebody hits the other person, but, you know, because of camera angle, sound effects, you know, there wasn't any type of contact, but it made it look like that. That's fake. Wrestling isn't fake. It's predetermined. And basically, I think Dana White's just pissed because his biggest star that he ever had on buy rates was a former WWE wrestler and went back to WWE and is sticking with WWE.
And Ronda Rousey wants to go to WWE.
Oh, shut the fuck up! You have the current star, who is the biggest, technically, a lot of people say the biggest athlete right now in the world, probably rivals that of LeBron James, but you know, she's on fire.
She's awesome.
She's a huge fucker. She's a huge fan, and she's eventually going to go to WWE too. Dana White can like say like, oh, she's not going. Yeah, she's not going while she's under contract with you, but as soon as that contract's up, she is going to make more money by doing less. And he fucking knows it. So he's just pissed. And, like, I know I've heard him say he respects Vince McMahon. He said this, like, a long time ago. And, you know, that kind of business mode. The analogy that I was talking to a friend that's kind of funny. You look at UFC and WWE in the 90s and look at them now. They've swapped places. WWE was huge. Nobody gave a fuck about UFC. Now UFC's huge. Nobody gives a fuck about WWE.
What drives me nuts is he's everywhere. Way in and all that crap. I just, before the freaking man, he's like, he does Vince McMahon worse, or just like Vince McMahon, but worse, I think.
I don't know. I really don't care for Dana White, and I really don't care for. I hate Joe Rogan. I have never liked Joe Rogan.
I liked him in News and Radio.
Never liked him. My hatred for him runs deep for like the past decade.
You don't like the Cleveland Browns either?
No, it has nothing to do with that. He's just a glorified. He's supposed to be a stand-up comedian, but he's a glorified TV host, and no one ever looks at him like.
I was like, he was never funny.
No, I mean, he says some things that are kind of funny, but it's just like, yeah, you're just not that good. Anyway.
All right, I pulled up the article about Roddy Piper. He passed away due to cardiac arrest in his sleep on Thursday night.
That's what I thought.
Did anyone watch his interview that he did, like, a couple days before he passed away on, doggone it, what's the guy's show? Used to be on the NFL Network. Dan Patrick, I think his name is. Anyway, they were talking about Hogan. It was kind of interesting. If I can find the link, I'll send it to you guys.
All right, next article.
Jimmy Snuka is battling stomach cancer.
Boy, just gets better.
I know the show's getting more depressing and depressing.
Thanks a lot, Kata. Jeez.
It's me. It's the me. It's the K-A-T-A.
No, it's Kata.
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 Another interesting story, over the weekend, there was WWE, you know how sometimes they throw two people together and see if they'll work as a tag team. They stuck the team of Adam Rose and, hold it back.
Brad Maddox.
There we go. Adam Rose and Brad Maddox together over the weekend while they were in Texas, and their tag team name was Beef Mode.
Yeah, the internet complained about that one.
Right. Well, because he's not joining the Wyatt family.
Oh, no, there was a complaint about that and a bunch of other stuff. And
Brad Maddox looks like CM Punk.
They keep misusing Adam Rose. I'm just like, just wait. All going crazy about nothing. All right, next one.
Andy will like this one. Porn industry cashes in on Ronda Rousey's popularity.
I heard about that. Well, what do you say? I'm sorry. I'm too busy looking up naked pictures of Ronda Rousey. Isn't that hot?
I like the.
She's hotter than Charlotte.
I like the meme that shows her, and it says, admit it, you'd only last 14 seconds to you.
No, I couldn't even get it up.
Most of the stuff from last week is all about wrestlers commenting on Roddy Piper.
I think someone fucked up the meme, and I think it's wrong. It said, the picture of Ronda Rousey, it says, she did it. Ronda Rousey is 11-0. I think she's actually 12-0.
Mm-hmm.
And below it, it's a picture of Brock Lesnar. It says, Paul, I need to conquer a streak.
And hold on, the show I was talking about was the Rich Eisen show. That's the...
Yes, I didn't think it was Dan Patrick.
Sorry.
All right, next story.
The only ones I see is the ones from the Roddy Piper show.
We didn't mention Layla.
And then there was apparently a pitch when Brock Lesnar first got into WWE that he was supposed to be a gay wrestler.
Yeah, I heard about that.
That he was supposed to be just the strong gay type.
Can you imagine? Good Lord. That guy breaking the Undertaker streak.
Hey, I was watching the Tough Enough, the show after that, whatever it's called, Tough Talk, and they were kind of hinting that that Josh is gay, but I don't know if he is or not, but it was just coming off that they were like hinting around that.
They do a gay couple angle with him and Darren Young.
You don't have any Titus O'Neil news articles?
Oh, yeah. It's a news article. He apparently took a bunch of homeless people out to lunch, I believe it was. I didn't find it.
He took a couple out, before, and the guy complained about it, so then he took, a whole bunch more to the same place.
The guy complained about it?
Yeah.
The owner.
The owner
or something.
Yeah, the owner of the restaurant.
Just saw it.
I think Titus O'Neil can be the first fully African-American WWE champion.
Yeah, I would believe it.
I really... He's getting a lot of good PR lately.
Yeah.
A lot.
Dad of the Year.
I mean, there's Dad of the Year, there's this story, there's a couple more, and I kind of think he's the next John Cena in the making. They just have to fully get to that transition, but he's building up on his own just fine. Everything that Vince seen in him before, we're now finally seeing more of, but we needed the prime time players to end right. They needed to be champions. We need to see a better storyline than we don't win, and then we're going to feud. It's dumb and happens way too much.
All right, here I got the article with Titus O'Neil pulled up. Says he claims he received a distant attitude from the manager, so he returned the next day with an entire group of people. He posted, I'm gathering people to take them out to eat at Yard House last night. I did the same thing the night before, and the manager seemed distant in serving the two last night, so instead of just posting, I'll gather more and eat lunch with them at the restaurant. They need to learn how to treat all humans as such. And it talks about how when he brought the entire group of people, he got a different response from the manager than he did the night before. AJ Lee is charging $15,000 per appearance. $15,000.
Well, I get it, because when you're in her position, you don't need to go out and do those appearances, but if you set yourself that kind of price tag, which I want to say Melina's was $10,000.
Yeah.
And think of the difference between those two. And there's only a $5,000 difference, but the right place books wants her, and if they can find that $15,000 worth it, go for it. I mean, doesn't bug me.
If somebody's willing to shell it out.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's because because it's not just going to be a person. It's going to be someone who's booking her and all right, we can get enough people into our event. We're going to make this much money, blah, 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 to where that $15,000 could turn into at least $15,000 profit. Because a lot of times, like, okay, you're going to have to pay for that $15,000, then you might have to pay for, I don't know, which I don't think it counts, like, where she's going to stay, picking her up, and all that kind of stuff. But what you'll do in return is you'll, like, charge for per autograph, you'll charge, like, that kind of stuff, and you can, because it's AJ Lee, you can put a higher price tag on it and actually make a lot of your money back, if not all of it. Next.
New segment's kind of burp. Daniel Bryan, originally, for his original Intercontinental title run, he wanted to everything to be exclusive to SmackDown. He wanted it to be built like the World Heavyweight Championship, because he felt like if there was no World Heavyweight Championship on SmackDown, he would have never been World Heavyweight Champion. So he wanted to use the Intercontinental title to elevate people from SmackDown to have the opportunity to face for that title.
And he got injured.
And Ryback's champion. He went on saying that he...
And Ryback's injured.
Yeah.
I seen someone try to say it on Facebook. Not just, it was like a wrestling group. Like, I wonder if the IC belt's bad luck charm. Curse. And I'm like, I've been saying that for as soon as fucking Ryback got the staph infection.
Because Wade Barrett just lost too. Or lost it, you know, beforehand. That's why it kind of... Then The Miz got it. And...
He's like, then The Miz got it. And...
I hate on The Miz.
I like The Miz.
How about this one? Michael Cole is scheduled to meet with a GFW TV personality.
Michael.
He's scheduled to meet with Chael Sonnen, who's going to be a GFW ring announcer or color commentator. Wrestling Observer Newsletter is reporting the meeting between Sonnen and Cole was set up by WWE talent scout Gerald Briscoe and senior director of talent development Canyon Seaman. It was reported at the time. It was reported at the time that Sonnen was there to have a meeting with Kevin Dunn about a potential WWE role. However, nothing ended up coming from the meeting. That was talking about the meeting they had at WrestleMania this past year.
Really? You have to say Seaman and coming in the same sentence?
His last name is Seaman, except for it's spelled C-E-M-A-N.
John Seaman.
And breaking news from last week, Layla announced... from last week, so yeah. Layla announced her retirement from WWE.
Fucking Roddy Piper's death, like, totally, like,
did
ruined.
Didn't Bubba Ray sign or something too, or he was gonna sign with WWE?
I haven't seen anything about it.
Yeah, neither have I.
The last time Layla was on TV was when Paige was trying to get all the divas to go help her with the Bellas. And I said she won't be helping. We know why.
Yeah, we can end the news dump there.
She did stay longer than I would thought. I mean, she won Diva Search. I think next to her and Eve Torres, she's probably the most successful one from that competition.
I liked her and Lay Cool.
Maria. Yeah, that's what she'll be remembered for, I think, most, with her and Michelle McCool.
Mm-hmm. There's also a MMA story. Wanderlei Silva claims to have proof that UFC fixes their fights.
You know, Bellator does.
That's why Bellator is not popular. And that'll do it for the news dump this week.
All right, let's get into our best of the week. I'm happy I had no pay-per-views to go over on this. All right, bio.
My best of the week is going to be that guy that actually took the time to print out 7,000 flyers that said Cesaro section and pass them out to the fans in San Jose.
Andy.
My best of the week is Seth Rollins' new shirt. Well, DRG's new shirt, whatever, same thing. And my question is, him announcing that it's going to be title for title, this is going to be, if Cena wins, is that going to be 15? Is that going to give him the record or tie him the record?
It'll tie him the record at 16.
And then, do we see a cash-in coming, or no, at SummerSlam?
I think the last few
cash-ins have been at the big pay-per-views, or right after the big pay-per-view.
One thing you gotta remember, this isn't going on last, probably.
Do you really think that'll go on last?
That feud was built way before this one.
That
seems to be just the marquee match. I think that's the way it's gonna go. I think there's no way around it.
I don't know. I'm leaving egregious, but yeah, your points are valid, and it could be either way. Really good.
I think you're either going to see some DQ finish for that match, or you're going to see, which there's no other way to do it, John Cena wins, Sheamus comes out, cashes in, because obviously he's only going to cash in on one of the belts, the only one that he can, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, he wins that, and then Cena still walks out the United States.
Yeah, that's what I kind of...
Because it seems like a terrible demotion for Seth Rollins to do the same thing to him. Like, okay, he wins! Here comes Sheamus! Okay, you just walked in the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and you're walking out U.S. Champion? What? It just doesn't make sense. So that's why I think it's going to be that way. I think we're going to see a triple threat. I think we're going to see the DQ finish, and we're finally going to see the triple threat for the U.S. title, or the winner of Owens and Cesaro for the U.S. title, and then the winner of that would obviously be Owens and Cesaro, then they'll continue their feud, and then Cena will go back to, like, all right, now back to the regular scheduled championship program.
When everybody's talked about, too, that Sheamus might be the one where he tries to cash in and doesn't win it either, so I don't think
people have been saying that forever. Like, every time someone wins the Money in the Bank now, I think they're going to be the one to, they're going to be another one to cash. I've heard this, I remember hearing about Rollins. I used to hear about Ziggler. I think Sheamus is borderline of that, but he's a guy that he does need to be built a little better. He's like this main event star, but you don't consider him like championship material. And I think they need to get him back to that stature. Katie.
Katie, wake up.
I'm waking up. I'm up. Give me a second. Jeez.
Quit watching the Deadpool trailer.
You know, my best of the week, I'll go with the Kid Elijah being an honorary superstar. I thought that was a cool moment. And I even like, motherfucker!
Oh, did I not mute myself?
I even like his name, Drax Shadow, and I liked his little memorable quote. He's like, don't fear the darkness, fear the shadow. I was like, that kid's got some imagination. I thought that was a cool moment.
That reminded me of a guy that used to call in to my, are we able to talk about that show or not?
What show?
The show that you're going to be hosted tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. The guy used to call into the allwrestlingweekendreview.com show. His name was The Shadow, and his thing was close to that, wasn't it? Or don't
know. It was like The Shadow. Who knows?
I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that kid's line was awesome. It was cool. Don't fear the darkness, fear the shadow. It's cool.
Very cool.
Just kind of like going back to everything that I was mentioning earlier in the show. I love those moments. Makes you feel great to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah, and it's like, who cares why they're doing it? They're making the kids' life much better when they're not doing well, they're sick and stuff. Make your day better. What's the problem?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be, like, WWE wants to benefit off of something, because they're not going to do something that they're not going to benefit at all from. So, I mean, that never bothers me, but it's imagine being that kid.
Or that kid's parents, man. Who gives a shit? If that was my kid,
yeah. Well, yeah, if you're the parent, you know, you get to, you're a kid who's probably going to die at a young age, or, you know, just go through some really tough shit at a very young age, that they get to experience something else that many others don't get to feel, but something that actually people will be envious for, of, you know, meeting Stardust, you know, your favorite wrestler, going into the ring, having that moment, and there's probably some other stuff that they'll do with him. I'm curious to see what they do. I really wouldn't be surprised if they start doing this once a year, and that, like, this is who's going to win the Get the Warrior Award.
It makes sense that it'll probably happen. But yeah, he even got a briefcase too with the Money in the Bank contract. It was cool.
Seen that? Which is weird. They actually sell those.
They sell families when it's still a briefcase.
Yeah. I just saw that they went on
sale. They sell texting gloves too.
Well, they sell everything, but it's like selling like the replica stuff. It's like, really, you need a replica Money in the Bank briefcase? You need a replica Slammy? Which I will admit, I kind of want one. A Slammy, only because
I wonder if they sell the razor that was in Seth Rollins' briefcase that went off.
No, that's probably sold separately. I kind of wish they had the different colored ones. Wish they had the blue one for SmackDown, because when Dolph Ziggler cashed in, oh, that was such a great one. Or better yet, the Damian Sandow briefcase.
The legal
metal one.
Yeah,
the legal one.
The one that looked like a big chocolate bar.
I could see Heavy buy one of those blue briefcases, and then there's his bedroom. He's got his underwear on with his Dolph Ziggler shirt carrying around the briefcase. Yeah, I'm going to cash it in! Yeah, I'm going to cash it in!
You, this now.
That was my Super Bowl moment.
This is my time. This is my time.
Oh, you should have. You should have heard me when that fucking happened. Sitting there at the edge of my seat. I mean, granted, I was like that for WrestleMania.
I saw it on Sherbert or whatever you put it on.
No, you didn't see my actual reaction, like the moment that it happened. Because I was like, edge of my seat for WrestleMania. Come on out. Come out. Cash in. And he did. And I was like, oh, fuck. So I did the same thing on Raw. And then when the music hit, I popped. I was like, yes! Granted, it was like fucking 10 o'clock at night.
I knew he was going to be out on Raw when he didn't come out on WrestleMania. I said he's going to come out on Raw.
I wanted him to come out on WrestleMania only because I'd been calling it for months.
Mm-hmm. That was...
Like, since towards the end of the previous year, I kept saying WrestleMania. Everybody's like, no, it's going to be this pay-per-view. No, WrestleMania.
Him?
And we got to WrestleMania, I'm like, it's going to be WrestleMania. And then it didn't happen. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, him not coming out that WrestleMania really pissed me off. That was the moment that made me realize, you know what, going to every pay-per-view with no expectations because everybody loved that WrestleMania, and I hated it because he didn't come out and cash it in.
I didn't mind it. I think it was much better at Raw, but it's one of those things, all right, Dolph Ziggler didn't get it at WrestleMania. That made the Seth Rollins moment even more special because, yeah, he came out and did it at WrestleMania, but it was during the main event.
That was the best way to do it.
Match.
Yeah, he's the first one to make a new match out of it. Yeah, make it a triple threat match. It was just a great way to do it.
And I thought it was so funny. Like, a lot of people were like, I didn't know you could do that. I'm like, it's money in the bank.
Yeah, you can cash
it. You can, as long as it's in the ring, it's legal. Why couldn't you go out? Like, to me, that it made sense. Like, I didn't even question it. I was just like, okay, yeah. I wasn't like, what? How could you do that?
No, I'm with you. I was like, yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. I thought it was a great... Because, like I said, if triple threat matches, there's no disqualification. If you go to cash it in, just like how John Cena, he won the match, but he wasn't able to get the belt because CM Punk disqualified himself.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got to wrap things up. This episode's getting long. I'm getting tired. The show's coming out late, so Biohazard, where are you at?
I am in the bed on Twitter at Biohazard_FTV.
Do you have anything going on in your life you want to talk about?
I start my new job tomorrow. That's about it.
Oh, congratulations.
Tomorrow.
So someone doesn't know that you're not going to see them anymore?
Oh. Dear Devil Vamp, I won't see you anymore. Ian.
Sorry.
You know what he's going to go?
Yeah, anyway.
Andy, where you at?
I'm in Iowa on my Twitter at @WA_WIR. Going to be wearing my shirt soon. All right, sorry.
Lovely.
Put your shirt on now.
I'm about to go get a snack, and I'm at Katie First Lady. Good night, all.
I'm in Virginia. I'm getting tired. By the time this gets posted, I will probably be somewhere south of Tennessee. So, you want all our information? You can find it on DSJNP.com. We'll catch everybody next week. I'm thinking I'm hosting. I don't know what's going on. I'm hosting too many shows. But we will catch everybody next week. And you can also listen to theallwrestling.com. Week in Review, cheap plug. And we're out. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Stan Lee. Worship.
Greetings, heroes. Stan Lee's here to battle. It's the mind behind the Hulk against the geek beneath the flag. I'm just your friendly neighborhood writer man with a secret identity of a super MC whose raps are as dark as my shade. And you're squealing like me. You're in trouble now, Jimmy, you dirty old hippie. Your beard needs a little bit of snip and skippy. Heck, that face on your neck ain't sexy. You're one pot sweetums, the other pot skexy. Step up to Lee and you get your butt kicked. Your Muppet stuff a lot like a stuff is butt kiss. I'm broke for Igno and the comics code. So keep your frog and pig show moving right along down the road.
I'm glad you got that out. That anger can clutter your mind. But you're a creative man, Stanley.
Yeah.
So let's just leave it behind. Cause I can sense your tension. Once the verbal fencing starts commencing, there is no defense against the dense Jim Henson is dispensing. And I'm clenching all your strings like you're a puppet in suspension. Call your superhero friends in.
Yeah, cause you're gonna need a vengeance.
Let me mention, I'm impressed by all the vision that it took for you to sign your name
on all of Jack Kirby's comic books.
Nice try, Frogman, but Jack was a friend of mine. Swift, that was a low blow. He did his own thing, and now you've made it clobber and tie. Blanco, you taught children to count and spell. Then you taught your own kids how to drop your wife harder, then you flopped on SNL. I'm telling you, Henson, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. I'm a marvel of a party pooper. I'll snap your turtleneck like a doozer stick and put you out to pasture like Mr. Hooper.
I'm sorry, Jim. Sometimes I can't control my rage. Honestly, there's a lot of things that you can't control at my age. But the truth is, I miss you. You were gone too soon. You were like watching a beautiful sunset at noon.
Oh, Stan, don't be sad. We all have a time to go.
Yeah.
Most of the internet thought that you died 12 years ago. But the four will always be fantastic.
The hope will always be incredible.
The words you wove within the hearts of heroes are indelible. There is no beef between us. We're two minds of the same kind. And there is no man who could ever muck with what we've left behind.
M-I-C. I rocked the mic properly. I'm the juggernaut of second knots, unstoppably!
The Disneyland lord of your intellectual property!
So get back to work! That's my time you're wasting!
I didn't buy you for billions so you could play around debating!
Oh.
You belong to Disney!
Which means you stay busy!
Cranking out magic
and assembly line whimsy!
Artists begging me to stop!
I won't let them!
Labor conditions in my shop!
I don't sweat them!
I'm powerful enough to make a mouse gigantic!
With only three circles,
I dominate the planet!
Oh,
clearly, there's nobody near me!
I'm owning this battle!
In fact, I own this whole series!
So hop on my steamboat, boys!
But don't run
out!